You probably knew that Alexander Hamilton was one of the founding fathers and the first Treasury Secretary. Maybe you remembered he was killed in a duel by Aaron Burr. But the smash musical Hamilton brought Hamilton's fame to Broadway through hip-hop. And now fans of Lego will get to know women who played an important role in the U.S. space program, thanks to new figurines called the Women of NASA, including Sally Ride, the first American woman in space. Putting history into the spotlight helps it reach a bigger audience.
All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I feel like I'm the best person to present my calculations.
You're not gonna let this go, are you?
No, I am not.
And she is a woman. There is no protocol for a woman
to attend
these meetings.
Okay, I get that part, Paul. But within these walls, who makes the rules?
You, sir. You are the boss. You just have to act like one, sir.
History has its eyes on you.
So where is the appropriate cross-section between historic people and pop culture? Does it sometimes give historians a headache? With me to talk about that is Dustin Gann, a lecturer in the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. Dustin, Hamilton is a clear example of refocusing on a historical figure via pop culture. What other examples come to mind for you?
This is a perfect year to ask that question because Hidden Figures was up for an Oscar. Jackie with Natalie Portman was up for an Oscar. Last year, maybe a year or two ago, we had Selma that was up for many awards. We have a number of films that are taking these historical narratives and putting them into sort of the popular culture vein. And I think one of the great things about that is, as historians, we write books and we use footnotes and we go into the archives and we tell stories that are interesting, but they're on the page, and they're really limited in their audience to academics and maybe some interested figures that are interested individuals that want to know the real story. Hollywood is a completely different animal. It takes those stories to a different audience and really popularizes the stories where people can see and then go deeper if they want that real information, as it were.
Well, as a historian, how does that make you feel then? Is there too much of a Hollywood formula when it comes to history? Do you see those coexisting well or no?
I think it's just a reality that we have to live with, that as a historian, the most dynamic narrative that I can write is never going to compete with a condensed narrative that takes place over an hour and a half, that has visualization, that has, in an increasingly digitized world, a here and now instant gratification style. So rather than looking away and sort of condemning and being resentful of that, I think we have to embrace it as historians, because the scholar who wrote Hidden Figures loves the movie. I guarantee you she has more recognition now than she ever would have before if it hadn't been for the film. So, you know, if you think about sort of taking the people into the history, because for many, George Patton's remembered as George C. Scott, not actually the historical individual of Patton. So there can be sort of an over-reliance on the visualization when it comes to the actual individual.
Well, let's say a character or a figure from history like Tesla. The Tesla name is on a popular automobile. We're hearing more about what he is and what he did. Does it matter if the history we know about someone may not actually be the true history? Like if we think about, as you mentioned with Patton and George C. Scott, if that's what we think about, does that in any way make the person actually a lesser figure, or does it almost expand them into some realm that they shouldn't really be in?
That's the tricky matter, the sticky wicket, as it were, because it's difficult to tell. And it's difficult for a filmmaker to think that they have that responsibility, where a historian has a responsibility to tell the truth. They need to note. They need to provide documentation for the stories they're telling. Filmmakers are involved in entertainment, not necessarily in the purveyance of truth. So I think that's where historians then come along and write books. Robert Brent Toplin is a scholar who's written History versus Hollywood in several of those kinds of books that take Hollywood to task in terms of this is what they've presented. This is the real story, as it were.
Yeah.
Many viewers don't go there. They don't look for that. You know, Tesla is an example, I think, where he keeps getting more and more famous. Part of that, I think, is because of the conflict that he had with Edison, and people see him almost as a counterfactual example. And they're attracted to him in terms of the what might have been, which is always going to keep him in the realm, I think, of popular culture.
So Rocky was playing Chuck Wepner, but it gave Sylvester Stallone, in writing that story, more free rein because he wasn't as tied to it. I mean, could Hollywood do more of that, where it's almost like this is based on this particular figure? And would that help in terms of some of us who are thinking, make it more accurate? Oh, it's really not the guy. Okay, that's all right then.
I think that does give Hollywood a little bit more license in terms of based on a true story is probably the loosest description ever in Hollywood. But I think part of what attracts films and movies and television to history is that it's an inherently individual or character-driven narrative. That historical actors do something and they represent something. You know, so one of my personal favorites, of course, is the 1986 film Hoosiers, which is about the 1954 Milan, Indiana basketball team that wins the state title. I love that movie. I recognize that it's a product of its time. In terms of 1986, it has the great soundtrack. It has an old coach in Gene Hackman's character, Norman Dale, who's coming off this sort of unceremonious firing. He's an ex-Navy man. He's a hardhead. He's a tempered individual. He's not that way at all in real life. The actual coach was named Marvin Wood. He's a young individual that's popular at the high school. The high school team had done well the previous year. So Hoosiers is an almost fictionalized, almost true narrative that sort of represents the pinnacle of what you're talking about, combining the two.
What do you think the long-lasting power of some of this is? If that outlasts the real history, is that a problem?
I don't think so, because it undoubtedly will in people's minds, but the real history is always going to be there. That they can always go find a biography of Patton. They can always go find more documentation about Patton. They can read his own writing, his own speeches if they want. As historians, we shouldn't say, don't tell these stories. We want Hollywood to look to us for stories. Mm-hmm. But to think they're going to tell the whole truth is probably a little bit overly optimistic.
Dustin Gann is a lecturer in the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. We've been talking about the cross-section of history and pop culture.